Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
YouTube.com/Brian Fonseca. We are live. Next time I do this, I'll probably have an intro. I'll probably actually have an intro. I actually made one for my boxing channel, The Mandatory with Brian and Chantel. That will be debuting soon. And Kevin Gray is here because I want to talk about the Dallas Mavericks. And I know nobody better to talk about the Dallas Mavericks. You could listen to Kevin Gray doing the Mavs pod. And also, is it Dallas Sports?
Yeah, pre and post game show sports. Yeah, yes. Yep.
The Dallas without the A, because you know it's just a cooler way to spell it, I suppose.
We don't do vowels. We don't do vowels over at the All City Network. So yes, the DLLS Mavs podcast. We do a podcast 5 times a week: pre game shows, post game shows, that kind of thing. I am the host of that show. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk some Mavs. We'll talk some Western Conference, just the outlook in general. But first, we're both wrestling fans, and The New Day. I wanted to ask you about this real quick because I wasn't watching it live, but I kept seeing tweets and I was like, oh shit. Cause I'm still a wrestling fan. Like, I can't give it up. I can't watch as often as I want to because it's not something I cover. Yeah. Well, maybe I should, but it's not something I cover, right? Just for work purposes. But Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods turned on Big E, who was back, and like I was just like, bro, and you tweeted about it also. I saw people skating about it also. If you're on Blue Sky, and you could follow me on Blue Sky, I'm there now. But I mean, reaction to that, like, what did we think?
It's wild because they've been teasing for weeks that Woods would kind of be the one that turns on Kofi, and that maybe we got something brewing between the two of them.
That's what I thought.
But the way, look, I hate it, but I love it, but I hate it, but I really love it, because the way that they did the double heel turn with both of them going against E, and the reasoning that they utilized to kind of get there, it's a little, okay, look. If you're going to be a good heel, sometimes you got to be a little irrational. And some of the things that they said is kind of wild. Like, they invoked Kurt Angle. They invoked Edge. They invoked any person that had a broken neck that came back to become a champion and wrestle again. They was like, them dudes came back. What's wrong with you? How come you can't come back?
And you broke your neck. So what?
So what? That's a wild thing to say to somebody. Like, so what? Like, Woods was like, yeah, I tore my Achilles off the bone and I was back because I came back for you. Like, utilizing them utilizing the fact that they were there still waiting for him to come back and feeling like he abandoned them, which in a lot of ways you start thinking about how it all kind of went down.
Yeah.
He has been kind of away from them, but obviously due to rehab and everything else, but they purposely, as we have now come to see how it's played out, kept him away, because I feel like this has been obviously planned for weeks and months at a time, because it was kind of odd. Like, how come E won't come back and come talk to them? Like, they out here having issues week after week. E can like come and talk to them. And now we see how it's played out, but I thought it was brilliantly done. It's a swerve that a lot of us obviously didn't see coming based off of the way they were teasing it. But yeah, seeing them go down this new kind of road together, and maybe, honestly, I was watching, and this is how deep it's gone for some people, you know, the connection with the anime and some of the characteristics of, you know, like, I don't want to get into all of the specifics, but the idea is there may be something brewing between Woods and Kofi at some point down the road, too, because the way that Woods is influenced, you know, Kofi throughout the weeks and kind of got him turned into the dark side, and maybe eventually, you know, Kingston will come to his senses and be like, no, man, this is wild what we're doing out here. So there's a lot of layers that I'm excited to see how they explore it, for sure.
I still think that has to be the case. And the best part about this is two things for me, and then we'll get to the NBA stuff we want to get to. One, it's WrestleMania season, just about, just about. This is the best time of the year to be a wrestling fan. It's January through April stretch. It's just the best time. The other thing is, I feel like Big E's going to wrestle again. Like, that's what this kind of tells me. Like, I'd be stunned if he doesn't wrestle again after this. And there's possibilities here for a lot of different outcomes within the next few months. And WrestleMania's 4.5 It's actually deeper into April than it normally is, like mid-April now. 4.5 months away or so. So, I mean, like, I'm very intrigued. And I actually think the weekly shows have been better this year than normal.
Yeah, like, once Raw cut it down to 2 hours, I had to get used to that, first of all. Like, from 7, like, for Central Time Zone, 7 to 10 for us, for you guys, 8 to 11. That's a long night to be watching, you know, pro wrestling for three hours. So,
yeah,
I like the 2 hours. And then with SmackDown being 3 hours right now, and they're going to apparently go back to 3 hours when they get on Netflix in early January. But yeah, the shorter the time frame, the way the stories can continue to move. And I'm interested to see how this goes, how long they keep me away from the two of them because of everything that's gone down now. And I'm hoping this means that they immediately win the titles the next time Judgment Day has to defend them, because they haven't defended them, you know, very regularly over the last, you know, several months. So maybe this means that Woods and Kingston are about to win, you know, the tag titles to get it off of Judgment Day, who barely defend the things. So
yeah,
which would be refreshing to see, or maybe E costs them, who knows. But yeah, it's going to be a very interesting, like you said, next 4.5, you know, months or so as we kind of get there.
I miss talking about wrestling. So I'm glad I got that out of my system. I may have to put some more wrestling on the channel, see how it does. But we do have some NBA things to discuss. Dallas Mavericks are 14-8. They have the second biggest winning streak in the NBA, biggest in the Western Conference, second to the Milwaukee Bucks right now. So second hottest team in the league, hottest team in their conference. Kevin, I've been fascinated by this team basically since the trade deadline. And at this point, I think that while the Western Conference seems to be, you know, a lot of people have tilted toward OKC should get it done, OKC should get it done. Dallas did beat them in a playoff series. And some people will blame that on shooting variance. DJ, a comment. Thank you for this. I will probably take your advice to cover the WWE more often. I like y'all viewing the WWE. No, I want to do a lot of different things on this channel. I know we're in this era where people are like, hey, you got to find your niche and stick to it. Yeah. Like I come from a journalistic digital media background where it pays to be versatile and cover a lot of different things and know of a lot of different things and not to specialize and put yourself in a box. So I don't want to do that. So I would be glad to talk more about wrestling and things like that if people were to be interested and watch it and listen to it. Now, you don't want to spread yourself too thin. Like, you know, sure, you have your specialty. Like for me, basketball, boxing is like what I know. Mm-hmm. But I still follow like the Mets very closely. I still follow football because how can you not? And you and Dallas have to follow football. You know what I mean?
Yes. The Mavericks and the Cowboys are my two
right,
like things that I zero in on, because that's obviously what's the biggest games in town. But yeah, you got to have your mind on a lot of,
yeah,
like I'll say real quick, when it comes to like bandwidth for me,
sure,
you know, spreading it out between the NBA, the NFL, I try to dabble a little bit in the NHL because we've got a pretty good hockey team, you know, with the Dallas Stars. Obviously the Texas Rangers just won a World Series in 2023. So you got to kind of have your bandwidth kind of spread out a little bit. But you know, between college football, about to enter the college football playoff, you know, women's and men's college basketball, like expanding that bandwidth, but also having enough sanity to deal and talk about it in, you know, good enough ways for folks to feel like, oh, okay, you know, you can get a better understanding of it is it's a full-time job. It's literally a full-time job.
So,
you know, it has its work cut out for it for sure. But it's fun at the same time. But yes, it is quite work.
There's worse things to be doing. You know what
for
I mean?
Sure. For sure. I'm not complaining.
Yeah, same. But the Dallas Mavericks are, listen, a team that's fascinated me since the trade deadline. And I think that they're, again, contenders. And I was probably like one of the few non-Dallas people, I would say, that were like, hey, they're contenders post-trade deadline immediately, because I really like the fits potentially for Daniel Gafford, PJ Washington. We saw that bear out. heading into the playoff series. I like them against the Clippers while acknowledging, and there's maybe a Jason Kidd conversation to have, but I was like, man, if they lose a series, he could get fired. And now we're talking about like a completely different thing with Jason Kidd. So where are you at with this team right now? And what makes this group special is what I want to ask, because I feel like this, like they just have something, the chemistry, the vibes, but also the way that they play when they move the ball, especially the ball movement was killer last night in their comeback against Memphis. Like, what does this team have that I can't quite get with the numbers?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's the depth that's been really good for this team. I mean, bringing in, you know, Quentin Grimes and Najee Marshall, Spencer Dinwiddie on his second tour of duty. You know about Spencer having spent some time out there in Brooklyn. But at the same time, this team, you know, they started off 5-7, got off to a really slow start, had a 4-game losing streak, and kind of an inflection point for this team. You know, about 2.5 weeks ago, they took a bad loss against the Utah Jazz, where Luka Doncic loses John Collins and Collins gets a dunk and they win. He wins the game for Utah. And that's kind of been their low. That was their low point of the season. But since that day, I mean, that was on November 14th. Since then, they've lost one time, and that was against Miami on the road. But other than that, they've won 9 out of their last 10 games. But they're getting contributions from Quentin Grimes, who's starting to find his role. He's got multiple 20-point games. In fact, he had 28 on Sunday, you know, against the Portland Trail Blazers. You know, Najee Marshall has been really good. He's missed the last couple of games with some illness. But at the same time, he had a streak where he had 4 out of 5 games where he was scoring, you know, 20-plus points. And P.J. Washington, who's kind of become Mr. Indispensable for this team, you know, stuffing the stat sheet. Like last night, for example, you know, 18 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, had a couple of blocks, hit a dagger 3, you know, to finish off, you know, the win against Memphis. They've been doing a lot of this damage without Luka Doncic. He missed, you know, 5 games with a wrist injury, missed another, you know, game or two, you know, dealing with some other injuries. So they've relied a lot on, you know, Kyrie Irving, who's had, to me, an all-star start to his year, you know, flirting with the 50-40-90, averaging nearly 25 a game. He's been spectacular for them for the most part offensively. He'd struggled against, you know, Memphis on Tuesday, but at the same time, he's been great steadying the offensive, you know, side of the ball for them. And then defensively, I mean, Derek Lively the second has been fantastic for this team. Last night had 17 points, 11 rebounds. You know, he's becoming one of the more versatile defensive centers in the league with his ability to guard on the perimeter, you know, still be able to play in drop coverage. He can do a lot of different things, got a lot of length and athleticism that he's bringing. So, yeah, it's been the depth that has made them special over this, you know, 10-game run here. And it bodes well for them going forward for the rest of the year because, you know, in an 82-game season, you're going to have to find different ways to win games. And sometimes some guys are going to have it, some guys are not going to have it. And this team has found ways to be able to win in different environments, different games. They've been traveling a lot as well. They're in the middle of a stretch right now where they're playing 4 or 5 on the road. So they've won games in a variety of ways and got it from a variety of guys. That's helped contribute to, you know, what's been a much better last 2.5 weeks for this team.
That's one of the things I really like is their depth. Like they have a real rotation. So if you're just looking at minutes distribution, obviously Luka and Kyrie are 1 and 2. PJ Washington, who he's just been, I think, killing his role this season in particular. But you talked about the playmaking, like it was just constantly just making the extra pass over and over again. Mm-hmm. Spencer Dinwiddie's over in the corner, fine. You catch and shoot. Spencer Dinwiddie had some big time shots late. Looks much more comfortable back in Dallas than he did with the Lakers in that brief stint. And is getting to more of the combo guard game that he was establishing in Brooklyn. It's going to be a limited role for obvious reasons, like, mm-hmm. you know, being deeper in that rotation. But this is where, like, he should be playing low 20s in terms of minutes, being a threat to score double digits, get you like 3, 4, 5 assists on a good night. Attacking, shooting threes, his three-point volume has gone up a lot year over year. And then you look at the rest of their rotation, it's like Klay Thompson's there. Klay Thompson's older now, but you want him to just be like a lightning rod shooting basketball. His three-point percentage is good so far, although obviously it's not like the most steady thing right now, but it's 20 something games, so mm-hmm. give it time. Najee Marshall has been like a revelation. He's having his best year. His field goal percentage went up every year in New Orleans, I believe, and he's having a career year so far. Some of that was without Luka Doncic, obviously, but I think he's a playoff guy. Like, you could play him 3-4 combo forward. You could play him there. And then you have, like, one of my favorite things is just the cheat code of, like, if we want to, at center, it could be Gafford or Lively for 48 minutes straight. That player, Lafford or Gaffley, whatever you want to call it, like, that's a cheat code. A lot of teams, like, there's a significant drop off from starting center to backup center. Nick fans, for example, have been screaming about this with Jericho Sims, who's actually been a little bit better lately. The drop off from Karl Anthony Towns. This has been a thing with Heat fans with Bam Adebayo and going from him to, like, Thomas Bryant, for example. Kevin Love stabilizes that a little bit more. Lively to Gafford is a cheat code. And then we talked about Dinwiddie. Also, speaking of revelations, Quentin Grimes has been quite good lately. Yes. So like those are nine guys. That's a real playoff rotation. And then you still have, like, Maxi Kleber, Jaden Hardy, who could be a creator who comes off the bench, plays with the ball a little too much for some people's taste, but, like, they have, like, a real team, like a real roster. And I guess my question is, like, you know, what is Jason Kidd doing? Like, what is Jason Kidd doing that people are probably not picking up on, unless they watch this team every night, or even if they do, maybe it's something behind the scenes, so to speak.
Yeah, one of the things that Kidd has been really good at since coming to Dallas is that he is a very honest communicator. You know, you brought up, you know, Quentin Grimes, for example. You know, Jason Kidd made no bones about it. He had benched him for the game against the Denver Nuggets back on what was, I believe, November the 10th, and he didn't play him. You know, felt like the decision-making wasn't necessarily very good. Some of the shot selection wasn't very good for him. And he sat him against Denver. Since then, Grimes has responded in the 10 games since then. You know, averaging over 13 points per game, shooting over 47%, you know, from the three-point line. I use that example because, you know, Kidd has been able to command the respect of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. And once you have, you know, the respect of those two, everyone else has to fall in line at that particular point. Because if Doncic and Irving are going to respond, you know, to the even-keeled nature of Jason Kidd, his communication, and the way that he allows his guys to be themselves, then everyone else has to do the same. And that's been one of the things over his tenure so far that he has been really good at, is making sure that his guys understand exactly what is expected of them, demanding that, and keeping them accountable for it. And if they are not, he has been willing to call out Luka Doncic in the past. That is something that has been another hallmark of his tenure here, is he does not mind, if it warrants it, hey, you're one of the five best players literally in the league for the last 5 years running. If you don't participate, he likes to use the word participate, like, for example, on the defensive end, he'll say it, not only privately, but publicly. So once that became established and was clear, everyone else has to understand that this is what is going to be expected of them, because he's demanding it out of his best players. And good coaches can do that. And once they do, everyone else understands what the standard is. And if you're playing up to that standard, you're going to play. If you're not, you're not going to play. It's that simple for him. And that's been a couple of things that have been really good about Kidd and what he's been able to achieve with his superstars and his team throughout his coaching tenure here.
Yeah, I feel like people forget that coaches could get better too. You know, in their second stop, so to speak. Like, we're seeing this now with Kenny Atkinson, speaking of the Nets, former Net, and shouldn't have been forced out at the time. You know, there were some disagreements there. But, you know, I thought Kenny Atkinson was good with the Nets considering what he had dealt with. And since then, assistant with the Clippers, assistant under Steve Kerr, Golden State won a ring, assistant with even the French national team, and, you know, look at the start that Cleveland went on, you know, and they still have the best record in the Eastern Conference. And then you're looking at Jason Kidd, he's made multiple stops. Like, there was a stint in Brooklyn, there was a stint in Milwaukee. And then, you know, by the time he gets to Dallas, people are like, really? Like, he's going to be a head coach again? Like, we're going to do this again with Jason Kidd? Like I said last year, like, there's probably a decent chance that if they flame out against the Clippers in round one, you know, with Kawhi Leonard in the shape he was in, like, maybe Jason Kidd's no longer here, but I feel like he's really found himself as a coach, so to speak, at this point.
Yeah, he credits a lot of his time when he was in Los Angeles as an assistant under Frank Vogel, and watching how Vogel would communicate with, you know, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, you know, being a guy that lended a listening ear to the stars of the team. And obviously, eventually, you know, they're able to win a championship. But at the same time, Kidd credits a lot of that time for his development to be able to, because he kind of did it backwards. Like, he came literally off the floor and became the head coach, you know, in Brooklyn. Like, he came from being a player straight to, you know, the bench, and really had to learn how to be a coach, learn how to communicate, learn how to listen, learn how to be able to gain the trust of his players. And even Giannis Antetokounmpo still credits Jason Kidd for a lot of the development that he had when he was in Milwaukee. So, you know, when you've got guys like a Giannis, a Luka, a Kyrie loves and adores Jason Kidd, idolized him growing up as a Nets fan. Yeah, he has been able to achieve a lot of different things that, you know, you can question at times, you know, coaching tactics and decision making, his mixing of rotations and how he goes about deciding who does and who doesn't play. But for the most part, it has worked here. And, you know, you got a pretty good head start when you got guys like Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving to start from. But yeah, he is objectively a good coach. Every coach has their, you know, idiosyncrasies and some things that you may not like about them, but he's objectively a good coach and has found a way to be able to use what he is as a coach and as a communicator and utilize that to do well here in Dallas thus far.
Couple comments. Let's see. DJ has another one. I understand. I find this channel for boxing. Also like the NBA, so I watch the channel when I have free time. We appreciate that. Listen, fully independent doing this off the side of like all my other work obligations. So appreciate that. Always want to give support to the people who support you. DJ also says, who do you guys pick for the NBA finals? We may get to that at the end of this, which won't be too long now. And Brad, who I often talk boxing with on Twitter, still calling it Twitter, the team they have to beat, they being Dallas, is OKC. And as good as the Thunder are, Dallas matches up great against them, which we saw in the playoffs last year, and continues to have a big size advantage. And I think now, like, the switching that Dallas can do, like, I feel like they're even more versatile this time around. Let's get into Luka Doncic specifically for a few minutes, because I do think this is an interesting year for him from an MVP standpoint, and just from a standpoint of like, all right, like, you have a team that can, like, entering a season, this is probably the first time we could say, hey, like, you have a team that could actually potentially win the title here. And this is the first time, obviously, that he's been coming off the finals and that experience. Like, what will it take for him to, one, win MVP? Because it feels like he's been one of the betting favorites for like 5 years or so every single year, and he still hasn't gotten one because that damn Nikola Jokic is pretty good in Denver, you know?
Man, listen. yes.
But what will it take for Luka to win MVP? And does that matter? Like, is that something that he cares about, Jason Kidd, the Mavs organization? Is that something that they even care about?
Luka will tell you he doesn't care about individual awards. I mean, last year, you know, the whole campaign for Pravi MVP, hashtag Pravi MVP, which is supposed to be, I believe, the word real in Slovenian. Someone could correct me if I'm wrong.
I think so, yeah.
That's what it means.
Think so. Don't quote
yes, me. Yes, I believe so. I mean, I should know. Hell, I do cover the damn team. But at the same time, I mean, last year he had, you know, one of the more historic offensive seasons that we have ever seen. I mean, basically going for 34-9-9. We had never seen a season like that before. I mean, he had the most points, rebounds, and assists, you know, combined since the merger. Like, it was a historic year for him, and he helped lead his team to the NBA Finals. So there was a late push to see if he could win last year's MVP, but obviously Nikola Jokic, I mean, his counting numbers, his advanced numbers, I mean, you could go on and on and on. I mean, Nikola Jokic is the best player in the world, but coming into this year, it felt like the narrative was in place. Okay, you had a spectacular offensive year. You led your team to the NBA Finals for the first time. He's been a perennial MVP candidate for years at this point. But coming into the year, it's like, okay, this is the year, especially if the Mavericks find a way to finish, you know, in the top four, or more likely potentially in the top two, that this could be the year for him to win the MVP. But unfortunately, you know, he suffered a calf injury that, you know, right before training camp, you know, began, that kind of slowed him down at the beginning of the year, you know, got off to a slow start once he came back. You know, one of the things that unfortunately we continue to talk about with him at times is the conditioning, you know, issue. And some of that popped up again. And then he missed, you know, 5 games with a wrist injury. So he hasn't been on the floor a lot. And when he has been, he's been good, but he set such a standard with his play that at times, even when he's dropping, you know, like he had a 40-point game against the Phoenix Suns, and it was like, meh. It wasn't a, and it wasn't an efficient night. It was a night where you felt like, okay, he could have been better, even with dropping 40 points in a game, you know, against a team like that in a game that they, you know, shouldn't have lost on the road. But my point being is that if the Mavericks finish in the top four in the West, if they find a way to win, you know, 52, 53, maybe 55 games in a difficult Western Conference, the numbers by the time that we get there should be good enough to have him very much in the conversation to win the MVP. Now, he's got to really get going because we're now 22 games in, you know, to the season. So these last 60 games, first of all, he's got to play enough to qualify for the award. But also, if he is, he's got to play a majority of the rest of the season to really give him the kinds of numbers that will allow him to be considered, you know, for the MVP. But yeah, he's got a good shot at it. But if he had got out to a better start, we would really be like, okay, number one, number two MVP candidate. And now how does that build for the rest of the year? But he's got some work to do to really kind of get himself, you know, in that conversation for legitimate MVP status this year.
Dallas is 14-8. He has played 16 of their 22 games so far. So he's missed six. He can afford to miss 17 because he needs to play 65. And right. I, you know, that's so basically you're playing with 11 more games of right now. I think the odds, if you're looking at MVP odds, sort of reflect that. Yeah, there's a chance like the games played could get him just because like the NBA is the NBA, guys get hurt. He did play a little bit this summer. He didn't play in the Olympics because Slovenia didn't qualify.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Smacked up by Greece in Greece, and Greece ended up qualifying, but you know, Nikola Jokic is the favorite right now because duh, like the he's ridiculous. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander second right now, Tatum is third, Jason Tatum third, which that's, I feel like it's very much a Boston is great thing. And I think
he's trying to win the MVP
I was going to say, I think because, I mean, he didn't get Eastern Conference Finals MVP, didn't get Finals MVP, but most importantly, the Olympic thing. I kind of liked Tatum as an MVP dark horse coming into the season because of that. And he is a really good player, but I mean, I would say these guys are better than him, but he's on the best team. So what are you going to do? Giannis is fourth. And well, I mean, can you really argue with that? And then Luka's fifth right there. Anthony Davis is sixth. I don't expect that to last. Anthony Edwards is seventh. Maybe he rises up a little bit, but there's some challenges there. I think with Luka Doncic, you nailed it. Like 55-ish wins, top 2-3 seed in the Western Conference. I feel like 55 can get you into the top two, given how stacked the conference is. And, you know, just the Luka numbers, just the Luka numbers that we're accustomed to. Like right now, he's at 29-8-8, you know. Not a big deal.
Those are typical Doncic numbers. Those are typical, you know. I mean, last, like I said, he, you know, averaged what, nearly 33, 34 points per game. So his scoring is down some, but the last two games that he's had, I mean, he had 36 against Portland on Sunday. He had 37 in the win against Memphis. And he's looked like the player that we are accustomed to seeing, much more fluid, much more healthy. In fact, he had four steals. That's how you know when Luka's kind of locked in. On the defensive end, if he's getting his hands on the basketball, you know, creating turnovers like he did last night, that's when you feel like, okay, he's a locked-in player. He's never going to be a great defender, but he's good enough to be a competent defender and to be able to play enough to where he's not getting beat and lost all the time where it can't happen to him on the floor on occasion.
Also, because I just looked this up, the least amount of turnovers per 100 possessions in his career so far. Not turning the ball over a ton. 4.3 per 100 possessions. That's a full turnover fewer than last year. And he's had years, three of the 6 years he's played so far, above six so far heading into this season. So
and that's by design, by the way. That's right. By design, because the amount of ball handles that they have on this team now, one of the things that kid wanted to do this year was to take Luka off the ball a little bit, and one, for preservation, so that by the time we get to the playoffs, you know, he can go do his thing and really just, you know, go ham in the playoffs.
Right.
But two, you know, there are other trusted ball handlers on this team that are capable of running this offense so that he doesn't have to have that much usage and load on him during the regular season. So that number really indicates that, you know, by design, that it's working so far for him to be able to not have the ball necessarily in his hands all the time. Not to the point where you're, you know, reducing the usage to a drastic rate, but just enough to say, hey, some other guys can handle some of this, to be able to make sure that he's where he needs to be by the time we get to the end of the regular season.
And the ball movement looks really clean at times. I'm actually surprised that they're only 14th in assists, but I think that number is going to go up. And the team collectively, like the three-point shooting, which is something we talked about last year, their three-point rate was much higher than it is right now, but they're finishing at the rim at a higher clip this year, which I also think appears to be by design. Like, they want to get downhill. And I think there's maybe a cause and effect there. Like, Luka not like him being off ball more probably leads to more opportunities for other people to just attack the basket, or for him to find guys, you know, when he's off the ball, like give that hockey assist or whatever the case may be. Like, I feel like Jason Kidd in totality is just coming up with a little bit more creative ways for their offense to like get these easy baskets. And it feels like just a well-rounded team who, I mean, they have, even when they're shorthanded, like they're missing a guy or two, like, this is a team that has like a legitimate rotation. And then we'll get into this part of this, because I want to talk about what will it take for this team to win the Western Conference again? This is not a transaction question, but I will bring up transactions, but I want you to just get into the basketball version of this first. And like, could they actually do this with this current roster, which is very similar to obviously what we saw last season?
Yeah. I mean, they got as good a shot as anybody to win the West again. I mean, you think about what they were able to do. Klay Thompson's gotten off to a little bit of a slow start, missed, you know, four or five games with the plantar fascia injury. He's working his way back. But the amount of depth that this team has been able to bring in and how well that they are playing, especially as of late, it gives them a chance. I mean, of course, when you get to the playoffs, you're shortening rotations. You're not going to run, you know, 9-10 deep in the playoffs, but they have the capability of interchanging guys based off of who's playing well and who's not, to really be able to shake up how a series can look based off personnel and matchups they want to try to exploit. And, you know, one of the things that they've been able to do really well also is, you know, they've been able to dominate in the paint. I mean, with Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively, you've got a really good, you probably have the best center tandem in the league based off of what both of them can do. And if they're staying out of foul trouble, we're talking about two guys that are going to spend, you know, 48 minutes on the floor, depending on how well one or two of them is playing. So you've got really good front court, you know, depth with Lively and Gafford. PJ Washington has been everything and more for this team. He's really improved his game, getting more on the block, posting up a little bit more as well. He's starting to knock his threes down at a much better rate over the last several games as well. And he's going to be their best defensive player every night. So that continuity is there with Washington. Obviously, you've got Luka and Kyrie to start off with. And if they're playing at their capabilities, you know, we were talking about the best backcourt duo probably in the league at this point. So if all those things continue to come together and everyone continues to play, you know, within their role, whether it be Spencer Dinwiddie, whether it be Najee Marshall, whether it be Quentin Grimes, you know, Jaden Hardy providing a little bit of a spark off the bench with some of the scoring and, you know, some better playmaking. You know, we talked about Gafford coming off the bench. Maxi Kleber is still a value. Even he's as much maligned these days as he's ever been, because right now it's just not a lot of confidence in him as an offensive player, but he's still got a lot of defensive versatility. And that's why the team, you know, still continues to have him, you know, around. So they've got a lot of pieces that fit together extremely well. Now it's just about playing together night in and night out and remaining healthy. But yeah, they've beaten Oklahoma City. They know what it means to go on the road in the playoffs and beat them. You know, they've beaten the Minnesota Timberwolves. They know, understand how to beat them, and they're a little bit different now without, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, as New York Knicks fans are finding out. So they have a real legitimate shot of being able to win the West again. Oklahoma City, I would think for them is probably going to be their biggest challenge. But at the same time, again, they have got a lot of confidence that they match up well against them. But yeah, they have to be able to just defend. They've been a top 10 offensive and defensive rated team throughout the majority of the year. If they defend at that kind of level, they're going to score a ton. They're going to be a top 5 offensive team most of the year. But they can play that kind of defense, and yeah, they definitely have a great shot of winning the West again for sure.
Yeah, like OKC was the hot team coming into the season that a lot of people were on, mm-hmm. rightfully so. Because
same for me, I picked them to win the West. You know, yeah, based off of the personnel that they had. Yeah,
yeah, I did too. But I think them and Dallas, because of what Dallas did last year, like I would say that they're on tier one of this conference. Houston is second in the West right now. I'm not saying it's not legit, but I do think like this is a situation where you're younger, you kind of have to get into the playoffs first, win a series. Like there's a legitimate process that mm-hmm. we've seen play out in history time and time again. Like oftentimes you just need to get your ass whooped first. And they do have veterans like Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks is a vet. but you know, you look at like Alperen Sengun has been in the playoffs, Jalen Green, like other guys throughout the roster, but they're talented. But I would not favor them to beat the Mavs or Thunder if healthy in a playoff series. You have Memphis, who Dallas just beat, and Memphis is a wild card because of what they could do and because their organization, like they could get frisky and try to make something happen, trade deadline mm-hmm. time, things of that nature. And the Clippers, obviously without Kawhi, but they're overachieving right now. They could actually. They have the salaries to pull something off. We'll see. Phoenix is Phoenix. Golden State is Golden State. Denver is not quite Denver, but they still have Nikola Jokic. So you got to respect all of them. The Lakers feel a little bit old, but you know they're going to try to win now. And then it's like, are the Timberwolves going to get it together? I don't know about that. And, you know, moving on down, it's like the Spurs, the Kings, the Blazers. Like, I don't know if how many of them are worth talking about in a serious manner. But I think with Dallas, here's what I would look at. Like, the rotation is deep. It's good right now, but things happen. Injuries happen. Guys fall mm-hmm. off, whatever the case may be. Like you have to continue to refine and retool around the edges of your roster. And I'm staring at their cap sheet, not at the second apron. And Spoltrak is even saying that they're not even at the first apron. They're like 500K short roughly. Mm-hmm. So like they're not in salary cap hell right now. Maxi Kleber, 11 million. We have Dwight Powell, $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
We have Omax Prosper, rookie scale contract. Like, yep. I'm looking at deals that they can potentially like execute. Dante Exum expiring $3 million. Like, these are some of the salaries I feel like you're looking at. The Kleber one, especially, because mm-hmm. you're keeping Gafford, who's at 13.3. You're keeping PJ Washington, who's at 15.5. You probably ought to extend PJ Washington, honestly, when his time is up. You're keeping Clay, 15.8. right now. And Najee, you're keeping him at 8.5, and obviously you're keeping Lively. Maxi Kleber is the one to me. I don't know if you throw in Grimes because you haven't extended him, whatever, but like it kind of depends. But they have that 11 million, which is so powerful because like in order to make a deal in today's NBA, you need something between like 10 and 20 oftentimes. And if you're going to piece it together, Kleber's at 11, Powell's at 4. Omax Prosper, who I loved coming into I really liked coming into the draft, but he's a young piece who hasn't been able to find his way into the rotation. So that's somebody that you can move off from and be like, hey, we're trying to win now. You need a spot where you can play, no harm, no foul. Those three guys get you to roughly 18 million, and you could be talking about some serious players there. So, I mean, are they looking to sort of retool maybe around the edges a little bit? Are they looking to upgrade? Are there names? Like, what is the situation there?
Yeah, and Jaden Hardy is also another name you could throw in there too. Mm. He signed, you know, a nice little mini extension, you know, with Dallas. So he's making about $6 million on that extension a year, you know, over the next
starting next year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's a guy that you can move as well to be able to, you know, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, Hardy can continue to up his trade value by playing well, you know, being able to score and being able to do some playmaking things because he could definitely be utilized as a trade piece. But yeah, Maxi Kleber is the one. I mean, he is in the middle of a 3-year, $33 million, you know, contract extension right now. Basically. So he'll be on an expiring going into next season, as far as his deal is concerned. So he has a chance to be able to, if you move him, you got a reasonable salary to be able to utilize, and then bring someone in to help, because I do think they need some additional front court help. They've got a lot of guards. The Mavericks got a ton of guards between Hardy and Dinwiddie. Dante Exum, who's injured right now, you know, is a valuable piece for them. Obviously, we mentioned with Quentin Grimes, they got a lot of guards, ton of guards, but they could use some front court help. A guy that, you know, I like in particular that I think could help them, you know, immediately, could shoot the ball well, you know, long defender, but also still relatively young and athletic. I mean, he's, what, 31, 32. But Larry Nance Jr. from Atlanta, I think, would be a really nice fit, you know, for Dallas. He's got the requisite salary. I think it's around $10 or $11 million that he's making a year, if I remember correctly, with Atlanta. So he would fit, I think, nicely here and isn't afraid to shoot the three. Maxi, confidence-wise right now, offensively, not sure what's going on with him. But I think a Larry Nance Jr. type of player would, I think, would be a perfect fit and provide some real front court depth for this team. Like I said, another versatile defender who can shoot a little bit as well, I think would be a nice backup to a guy like PJ Washington, where he kind of does a little bit of everything. But that's kind of the name for me that's kind of sticking out immediately when it comes to based off of their salary cap situation and what they're trying to achieve there.
Yeah, that's kind of the spot for me I'm looking at. Because five, obviously, you have, you know, what did we say? Gaffley or whatever the case may be. You have Gafford and Lively there. I'm not going to make that a thing because it's corny. But, like, you're kind of looking at someone who, I mean, maybe they can play some five, but you want them predominantly to be able to play the four, maybe even a combo forward. Because PJ Washington, like, he really is, he's a four in the modern NBA, but he could play some three as well. And Najee Marshall, like, he's listed as a three, but obviously it's 6'7", 220 in the NBA in 2024. You're going to play some four. Like, that's just the nature of how this goes. And, it, like, if you're sending out Maxi Kleber and potentially Dwight Powell, which I don't know, Dwight Powell may just be a Mav or a Mav lifer.
He's a Mav lifer. He, you know, he's not going anywhere.
I don't think he's going. So Kleber's the one at 11. Omax Prosper is at like three ish. So that gets you to like 14, which is Onyeka Okongwu range, but I don't think Atlanta would or should trade Okongwu. I actually think they should try to flip Capella, but that's another story for another day.
Agreed.
But when you're in that range, I mean, that gets you to Dorian Finney-Smith, who's at 15.
And that's another fan favorite. That's another name that Mavericks fans, ever since they moved him on, obviously, to acquire Kyrie Irving, Mavericks fans have wanted to have Dorian back here in Dallas for obvious reasons. He's a fan favorite, will always be a fan favorite. I just don't know if that's a reunion that will actually happen, just given just the circumstances of what the team, how different they are now. And honestly, it'd be kind of going backwards a little bit, I think, based off of what they have now. But yeah, if Dorian came back, I mean, he would be able to fit in well. He knows how to play with Luka and everything else. That would be fine. Another name that some Mavs fans have been throwing out there, I don't know necessarily if I'm on board with it yet. I got like Obi Toppin is another name, you know, and he's a little erratic at times. Like, you know,
he's fun, but he's exactly. Erratic. Yeah.
Yeah. Fun. But the word I would definitely use is erratic. So, I mean, he's an athletic guy that obviously can get out on the break and finish, you know, out in transition really well. But
13 million, then 14, then 15 and 16.
So it kind of fits in that range there as well. Yeah. Money.
The problem there is, Oklahoma City is going to dare him to shoot in the playoffs.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, other teams are going to dare him to shoot in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
With Dorian Finney-Smith, I mean, he's there to shoot in the playoffs. Like, Dallas has done this before. Like, he's kind of, now that I said it out loud, and the thing is, you're going to, like, the Nets want a good amount. Like, they want a pick, a minimum, maybe more. Like, there's been reports of them wanting two for, I don't know if you're getting two first for Dorian Finney-Smith, all due respect. But, I mean, I'd be interested in Omax Prosper if I were a rebuilding team, and I'll take Maxi Kleber's salary because, like, what does it hurt me? Like, if you're telling me if I'm getting Maxi, Omax, a first for Dorian Finney-Smith, like, I would take that if I'm them. Could you do better? Perhaps. Like, maybe. It depends on how desperate somebody else is, but I think that's a fun one, where, like, reuniting with some, like, Spencer Dinwiddie, so to speak. Somebody who was on that team also that went to the Western Conference Finals. Somebody who knows exactly 1,000% what he's going to do from day one, what the role is. He's not going to play as much as before because of the emergence of PJ Washington, but that's fine. He's a vet now. He's like, I want to say he's 30, 31-ish in that range. Mm-hmm. Like, I think him giving you 18, 20, 22 minutes a night is fine. Perfectly yes. fine.
Yeah. And again, he would fit in seamlessly with the locker room and understand, like I said, what his role would be and be able to play it from day one. It's just with the composition of the team and the way that they've got, you know, Najee Marshall and obviously, like you mentioned, with PJ Washington, you know, who you move on from or who you replace him with as far as minutes are concerned would be interesting for Jason Kidd. I mean, he's got a juggling act right now with the guys he's trying to play, you know, night in and night out. If you add Dorian to the mix, that would be another interesting wrinkle to have to try and navigate. But, you know, Mavericks fans, like I said, love Dorian. I love Dodo. Like he's a fantastic cover, you know, really good player, really worked hard to become the kind of player that he is. I'm sure Brooklyn Nets fans have found out how much of a hard worker he is.
They like him for sure.
Yeah, and like him a lot. So for sure.
Couple other names I'll toss at you before we get out of here in this range. I love this player. I don't know if he's going to fit. And I don't even know if he's going to be traded because this team is also trying to compete. But Bobby Portis makes 12.6-ish million. Does not
That's
have a contract,
great contract
extension.
For Milwaukee. That's a great contract for him. Like when he signed it, I thought,
I agree.
That's a hell of a deal to keep Bobby Portis there. Like he must have really wanted, because I think he could have got a little bit more on the open market somewhere else.
Yeah.
But
he's in the perfect role, though. You know,
exactly.
And an environment. Exactly. Like for somebody who has bounced around from chaos to chaos, like chaotic organization after chaotic organization, drafted by the Bulls, traded to the Wizards, then was with the Knicks before the Knicks were like the functional, the most functional Knicks in my lifetime. Like he was in one of the last like bad Knick teams.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously Milwaukee now, like he found a home. There's something to be said for that. But if,
yeah,
because there have been rumors like, are they going to move on from him, Connaughton, Brook Lopez? I think that's tabled for now. So I don't think that's going to be a thing. But if it does, like, and his name is floating out there, that's one that I'd sniff around for because obviously he can play the four or the five. He can't play the mm-hmm. three, but he can play the four or the five. And he does in Milwaukee. You have Kelly Olynyk, 12.8, then 13.4, and Toronto is going to be incentivized to continue to, like, Omax Prosper is a guy that makes sense there because they're just trying to play young for the most part, and I'm not going to say tank, but you know they're not exactly trying to win games right now. So Kelly Olynyk is another one, and then you also have I had another name here, Beef Stew Isaiah Stewart. With the Detroit Pistons, but he's on a long-term deal. I wouldn't do that, and I'm not sure he's as clean of a fit. But that's pretty much it. Any of those names interest you at all? Probably Portis, I would imagine.
Probably Portis. And I apologize, my original camera light went out. Like,
it's all right. We're wrapping up.
It kind of cut off, but yeah, I mean, and Olynyk is another guy that Mavericks fans have talked about for quite some time. Mm. You know, as well as a guy that you know
he'd fit.
Yes. He kind of fits the aesthetic, if you know
he
what
can
I mean.
He's somebody you can't leave open from three in a playoff game.
Yeah, exactly. So, but of those names, I mean, Bobby Portis would be the one if he were made available, which, again, I would not imagine that Milwaukee would do that based off. I mean, they're winning games now. I mean, although they did get smoked tonight by the Atlanta Hawks, but they've been winning games. They had won, nine straight or something like that.
So the Mavs had the best winning streak again.
Yeah. Then the Mavericks now do have the longest winning streak currently in the association with the Hawks beating the Bucks, and apparently the Miami Heat just beat the brakes off the Lakers tonight.
So. Tyler Hero had like seven straight threes at one point. It was ridiculous. I don't know what's going on with the Lakers. I don't know how that happened, but a lot of people I respect bet on the Heat before tonight, and I was like, huh. Somebody who watches this team probably more than the average person, I was like, oh, okay, I'll defer to you guys, and they destroyed them. Last question. This is going to be just totally out of left field. Why hasn't Omax Prosper sort of like gotten the minute? Is it just like the timelines don't really match up and he needs to be on a team that's younger and, you know, he needs to be able to go out there and make mistakes, even though he's not that kind of player. Like he's not like someone who's going to handle the ball a ton. That's not what he does. He's a complimentary guy who could defend.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, there's just too many guys in front of him. Yeah. I mean, he's still got some development to do. He's trying to get the game to slow down for him. But at times he's played a little bit better, but you know, he's still working to become a better NBA player. But right now there's just too many guys in front of him that are playing well and have more experience that you could trust to win games at this point.
Question at the buzzer, TJ, what are your thoughts on the Rockets? There's a video clip on this channel discussing that, but obviously we'll need to update that because the Rockets have played more games since. Said it earlier, think they're really good, have potential. Also think, though, like, I don't think they're going to get into the playoffs and then all of a sudden just go to, like, the Western Conference Finals right away. I kind of think, like, you know, the first series or two, if they get to the second one, is going to be really tough for them. I still don't think, like, they're at the level of OKC and Dallas yet. But Houston is good, man. Like, they have, you want to talk about depth. Like, that's a team that has depth and some shit to figure out. But they're young, and I think we got to give it more time before we could say, like, they're, like, true contenders. But they're legit, but I don't think they're in that upper tier yet. I don't know if you disagree, but I mean, I think Houston's good, but just needs a little more seasoning.
I mean, they're going to be a well-coached team. They're going to defend like crazy. Yes, I mean, Amen Thompson and Tari Eason. Yes. I mean, what are they calling them? The Terror Twins out there right now. Yeah. Like, they have been really, really good for them. They get after it. And, you know, you mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, with Baby Jokic and Alperen Şengün. Yes. Obviously, you know, they got some veteran leadership there with Fred VanVleet. Like, they've got the makings of a team that's an up-and-coming team that you feel like, okay, maybe not necessarily this year, but next year, okay, the expectations will continue to rise for them to where you feel like they could legitimately finish in the top six. I mean, they may finish in the top six this year. I think they'll drop back a little bit just because they're learning how to win games and learn how to win consistently and the grind of an 82-game season with expectations weighing on you as well as the season continues to go on.
Sure.
We'll see how mentally they respond to some of that. But, yeah, no, they got a good team, a good young team that really plays hard. I mean, they beat the Mavericks when, you know, earlier this year. Like, the Mavericks know that if you don't come to bring your A game against the Rockets, you're gonna get beat. But I like the way that they play. I think Ime Udoka, for all his other things, you know, whatever. But he can coach. he can flat out coach. He may not be able to keep a relationship, you know, very good, but he can flat out coach. That is one thing we can't say about Ime.
Yeah, and I saw that Tari Eason, I think, has a concussion. So hopefully he's not out for a long period of time. That's Kevin Gray. Follow him at Kevin Gray Sports and also at his Blue Sky account, which I hope Blue Sky cleans up the ads because I don't want to have to say, like, brianfonseca.bsky.social. Like, there's got to be a cleaner way for Blue Sky to do that. But, you know, I think we'll get down to it. But follow Kevin, pre- and post-game show, Dallas Sports without the A, D-L-L-S.
Yes.
And also Mavs podcast. So all your Mavs stuff. And also there will be Dallas Cowboys tweets. By the way, CeeDee Lamb going to play this weekend? I'm asking for fantasy football purposes. like my team name, the Cocaine Cowboys, revolves around CeeDee Lamb's potential availability.
As far as I know, he should be good to go. I mean, they play on Monday night, so he gets an extra day of rest.
Okay. I'm fighting for a playoff spot, Kev. Like, I need
CeeDee Lamb don't do that. Don't, like, half the fan base want him to tank. The other half want them to try to somehow salvage a playoff spot. Like, it's been a season from hell here in Dallas. Now they've won two games against the Giants or the Commanders and the Giants, and now they're playing a Bengals team.
They're in the hunt graphic. The helmet's there.
I mean, we'll see after Monday night. Talk to me after Monday night. If they beat the Bengals, then it's like, okay, now we might have something to actually talk about here in a potential, you know, last effort to get to a wild card spot. But if they don't beat Cincinnati, then Cowboys fans can go to bed because the season will be put to rest at that point.
All right. Thank everyone for watching. And if you watch this after the fact, thank you. Like, comment, subscribe, and provide watch time, please. Just let it play in the background after you watch it. Watch it from another device and just let it rock. You know what I mean? Drop a couple thumbs up if you're feeling nice. Take care. We'll see y'all again.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.